Hello and welcome to Everything to Guppy, the podcast where we talk about every single item, every single enemy, and every single everything in The Binding of Isaac. I'm William of Hughes, I was going to say. Fuck, that's a bad start. Shut up, Gary.
No, that's a... I love that.
I'm William of Hughes, and I'm joined, as always, by a guy who's kind of like, you know how in like medieval churches, they have like a little, like the knuckle of a saint, and they act like that's a big deal, even though everyone's got fucking knuckles? The Batman of podcasting, Gary Butterfield.
Hey. Yeah, and hey. I'm here with, is it Knight? Since you're William of Hughes, is Knight the name of the British Batman?
Oh, like yeah. Batman, I mean, Knight, certainly one of the British Batman that Grant Morrison harvested for the Black Casebook or whatever it was called.
Yeah. I'm with me as always is Knight, the Knight of podcasting.
I think he's the one who turns out to be the traitor in that mystery story.
Makes sense. You love traitors.
I do really like a traitor, you know? It's the most interesting thing a person in a group can be.
We call your kind Quizzleheads.
Yeah, you know, my favorite soup is a little bit of the old Vichyssoise, you know?
Your favorite character on Hey Arnold is Benedict?
Yeah, yeah. You also know? My favorite way to serve eggs. Not true. Not a big hollandaise guy.
Yeah. I love hollandaise, but not as much as I love hollandaise.
See, I was just going to say I love Holiday, the Batman villain.
Okay. And I love Holiday, the Holiday Road, the song from the Vacation movies.
Sure. We were having a really intense conversation in the Slack right before recording today about what the best song from a Rodney Dangerfield film that also features a performance from a cast member of Saturday Night Live is.
I would like to, for people who are not on the Slack at the time right before this was recording, that very intense conversation was a post that Will made that no one responded to.
Doesn't that sound intense?
It's, I guess, internally intense.
Doesn't that sound like it has a lot of emotion and feeling attached to it?
You have to tell me. It depends on how you feel about nobody.
Yeah, it felt like dying.
Recognizing
sure.
The trivia. Yeah.
So, listener, you might be thinking, well, obviously it's the Caddyshack song, right? All right. Right. It's not though. It's Back to School by Jude Cole.
Yeah.
When logic fails, don't lose your head. Turn and lean on me instead, I believe is the line.
Yeah.
And I think about that a lot when logic fails.
Well, for me, logic never fails.
Yeah, you are you are the Spock of podcasting.
I am the Bat Spock of podcasting.
Waiting to do a big smooch on Super Kirk.
I can't remember. Do Vulcans have sex, or do they do the mind meld, right? They don't have regular sex. They like grab each other's heads and orgasm together.
So obviously we're talking mostly about what happens during Ponfar, right?
Yeah. They're 7-year mating. They're cicada like boners.
Gosh, Gary, I think they do have to make a semen.
Okay.
Let's. How do Vulcans... Oh, no, my browser!
Imagine the rigid, orderly semen of a Vulcan just marching up to the egg, like one at a time in a very meritocracy-based like system to see which one gets it.
I mean, Gary, you've exposed your foolishness because, of course, during the throes of Ponfar, Vulcans lose their famed logic and give in to their biological urges. That's why
their sperm don't.
You don't know that.
Oh, you don't know what I don't. You don't know what I know about Vulcan sperm.
Okay, the imbalance.
You don't know
Ponfar,
what I know about Vulcan sperm.
It's a great sentence, and I enjoy that you said it.
Thank you.
See, Vulcans are very private about it. Definitely, because there's definitely in a Star Trek Strange New Worlds, there's definitely some like Spock has a longtime fiance. And they do get down, but I'm not sure if they get down with brain or genitals.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't know. You can solve Ponfar with intensive meditation, which I think is how Tuvok does his deals with his.
Yeah. The there's a bunch of different Star Trek aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Either just have sex, and then Vulcans do a mind meld, and then the Klingons do like the clawing stuff that they do, like the biting and clawing shit. That is kind of a sex. But it's weird that so many aliens just like have intercourse. And I understand that's so Kirk could have sex with them. But a bunch of them are just like green ladies with pussies.
Well, you're talking about, you know, Orion specifically, and the sexuality of Orion characters is, of course, a deeply discussed, controversial thing. Very, a big part of Star Trek Lower Decks addresses kind of that stereotype. But also, it is just weird that everybody got... I think what's really weird is everybody got two legs.
It is weird that everyone has two legs. Like, they should have at least done the effort of having somebody drag behind, like, a third stuffed leg as they walk around.
Gary, I'll tell you from personal experience, it's not a dream. It's not that easy.
Yeah.
Dick joke. Gary, it's everything to Guppy's Monster Blitz, where we're talking about every single monster in The Binding of Isaac.
Do you remember the Star Trek The Next Generation episode where they found an alien species that was just Irish immigrants?
Yeah, I mean, didn't they get, like, abducted? I think they were actually Irish immigrants.
They might have gotten abducted by another alien race. I remember they had to live in the cargo hold.
Yeah, they lived in the cargo hold. It was, like,
it was a really racist episode.
It turned the Enterprise into the Titanic.
Into the Titanic. And they also, there was a part where somebody told the men, the male Irishmen, that they can make whiskey from the replicators, and like an Irish woman got really mad at Picard and was like, why did they tell him we could get more than meat and potatoes from these things?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck, man. And they're all just like super drunk. It seemed racist to me as a kid.
I just thought it was really hot that Riker had sex in that old timey car.
Yeah, I like that too.
Steam God, on the windows.
Sliz.
Draw me like one of your beta Zeds.
Yeah. Mind meld me like one of your beta Zeds.
Now, you don't mind meld beta Zeds, Gary. You sound dumb again.
Well, I feel like a Vulcan could.
Yes, of course.
No, you sound dumb.
Okay, but like, I don't even know how beta Zed telepathy and Vulcan telepathy interact, Gary. I'm not an expert.
Well, you've got to have sex with each of them.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. You have to go around the rings of Orion, they call it, where you go through and you have sex with each of the Star Trek aliens.
Yeah.
Including the glob monster that killed Tasha Yar.
Now, Gary, I'm mad at myself that I can't pull the name of the glob monster that killed Tasha Yar, first off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Remember when Q wanted to have sex with Janeway?
I do.
Hot. I didn't like that.
I kind of like that.
I mean,
I don't know.
I don't like seeing him cheat on Picard.
Their relationship to me is not sexual.
What?
Picard is an omnisexual being.
Sure.
It is sexual, but he's not monogamous. That's what I'm
saying. Oh, okay. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, he's an omnisexual being. Like, it doesn't, he has sex with everyone in the universe if he can. And he can.
Yeah.
Because he's Q. He also has a wife and family and stuff. Like, they've got an open marriage.
Well, after the Janeway thing. That's how he realizes he really wants to be with female Q.
Yeah, Lady Q. And there's baby Q.
Why is she just Q and he's a gentleman Q?
That's Gary? What they call her in the book.
Oh, sure.
I didn't make that up.
Yeah.
It's in the Peter David book. Blame Peter David.
I can't. He died.
Yeah.
You can't blame the dead.
No. For anything. Like, once you die, it's actually just, you're off the hook.
Yeah, it's actually, you know? It makes history hard to talk about and think
about. It's really hard to talk about. Like, nobody did anything wrong. You know, only people who are alive now.
To the point that if we started saying specifics that dead people no longer did wrong, we'd sound like fucking monsters.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't.
So we won't. I'm not even going to do that. That's the kind of thing I usually do. And I'm not going to do it this time.
Yeah, Gary,
we're nearly trying to pull one.
Can we get to the serious topic of the episode?
Yeah.
Do you have any, before I do mine, do you have any grievances against me that you want to air?
None that haven't already been aired.
Okay, good.
Like, you're aware, I think, of all my grievances.
What?
I think you're aware of all my grievances.
Okay, good. So, Gary, there was a conversation, like, you heroically in the Slack were trying to steer people away from my game of who from TV things? Casts. What's the best movie from various TV casts?
Yes.
By talking about X-Men and X-Factor.
Yeah. For people who don't know that game, it's kind of a cross between like judging a movie, but with a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon element. We'll pick two random properties and that might share an actor or that might have actors that went on to the same movie.
Sure.
And then it's kind of a challenge to see if you can remember as well as Will which movies count. And then once you do, you get to choose the best movie. It's kind of a two-part game.
A lot of people were saying that Mystery Men was Hank Azaria's best film, and I beg people to watch more movies.
Yeah. I like Mystery Men, but best film is hard.
Yeah.
But
Gary was valiantly trying to turn it onto an X-Men thing to feed into Gary's urges instead.
To be fair, I was trying to feed it into casting.
Sure.
In a general, because I think casting is fun and it doesn't have a trivia challenge at the front of it. Like you can just, everyone can participate.
Yeah, I agree that it is worse. And we got, Gwen brought up the character of Strong Guy from X Factor. And then my assumption was everybody in Slack wasn't saying me for that role because it was too obvious. But then I realized that people weren't saying me for this role because when they hear Strong Guy, they don't immediately think of me.
Strength isn't the stat that I associate with you.
But when you hear the phrase Strong Guy, doesn't Will just pop into your head? Just a picture of me, just Strong Guy. Oh, Will.
Now that you say it, I can picture your head on Strong Guy's body.
Sure, that's a different funny image. He's got a little head on top of a very big body. My head's actually pretty big, so it might not work as well in that case. But just like the phrase strong guy, you immediately think Will.
No, like a sad guy, funny guy.
Strong, though.
Yeah, I haven't seen you do many things that are strong, either emotionally or physically.
Emotionally, obviously not. I'm one of the weakest people I've ever met. Emotionally, physically, I'm a big, strong man.
You are large. I haven't seen you do that much strongness.
What do you need to see?
Like deadlifts, bench presses.
Dead bench presses.
Fighting the Hulk?
Sure. Yeah, I could fight the Hulk.
You just don't want to.
He has a hard life, Gary. A lot of bad shit happens to him all the time. He's like trapped in an eternal cycle of life and death.
I'd listen.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd say, hey, buddy, what's going on?
How is Hulk?
Ooh. You know, Hulk's strongest one there is, but is Hulk saddest one there is?
Yeah. How to make Hulk happiest one there is?
I understand Hulk just want to be left alone, but sometimes you have to push on another person's boundaries in order to help them.
Yeah, you can't do it all alone, Hulk.
At least until you outlive the rest of the human race, which you are destined to do.
And all kinds of weird shit that you're doing right now. Like, Hulk can do that now because Hulk is a weird separate monster that exists separately.
I still need to read the rest of Immortal Hulk, but what I read was good.
Immortal Hulk is good, and the current run is good. I started reading the current run, and it's, like, pretty good. Like, when that comic leans into horror, I like it quite a bit.
Because it's a horror premise.
Be scary. Yeah, it's a super horror premise. And it's doing a lot of things that Immortal Hulk does where it shows the transformation and how fucking gross and bone-breaky it is.
Yeah.
I love that. But if you were going to be Strong Guy.
Speaking of fucking Peter David, in hindsight, Professor Hulk is the worst. It's the comic book. I feel like we've had this conversation before. It's the comic book thing where, like, yes, if you were writing a Hulk story, you would want to, like, as like a novel, you would want it to resolve one way or another, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least resolve into eternal torment.
Yeah, which is a resolution of sorts.
And so Peter David being like, no, let's finally get Bruce Banner some therapy so that he can, like, bring his personalities together and make a best version of himself is not a bad idea for a story.
Yeah. It's not sustainable, though. It wasn't. Yeah, he just did it for a little while. Like, what kind of things? What would this be like? What if Hulk combed his hair, wore little glasses? You know, Bruce Banner doesn't wear glasses. It's so weird that Professor Hulk does.
Yeah, but people, that's how you let people know you're a smarty.
That's how I do it.
Yeah.
More glasses equal more smart.
It's true. I was at your Halloween party on Friday night, and you were wearing like four pairs of glasses.
Mm-hmm. And not where you expect.
Yeah.
Like
Gary was showing his intelligence with his dick glasses.
Yeah, I've got, hello, I'm Dick Glasses. Yeah.
Hi, Dick Glasses. I'm Dan Branzino.
Yeah, I've been doing
Dan Branzino lately.
Dan Branzino?
Yeah,
is that
around
an
the house.
OC?
Yeah, it's an OC.
Somebody I don't know. Okay. Tell me about Dan Branzino.
Hey, I'm a straight shooter. I don't beat around the bush. I'm perfectly aware. Like, let's be honest with each other, Gary. I'm an improv character created by a man with almost no experience of other human beings and basically just pulling from TV and movies.
Yeah. What's your favorite show?
My favorite TV show? Probably Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, yeah.
I love watching Steve Buscemi break out of kind of, you know, really get to be the center of an ensemble.
With the half face.
It's got that guy with the half face, played by Paul F. Tompkins on several episodes of Comedy Bang Bang. As a character, as a person, Dan Branzino shouldn't know that, but he can only know the things that his creator does. The creator's a limited, limited man.
Yeah, that's also how I know it, so I appreciate that.
Sure.
I would not have called that out otherwise.
Sure.
We've now said the two things I know about Boardwalk Empire.
Al Capone's in it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Now I know three.
I've got a meeting, so I'm going to get out of here.
All right. Thanks for being straight with me.
I'm named after a very expensive fish. Been doing some Dan Branzino. I think it was Todd Branzino when I was doing it around the house yesterday.
Dan is a better name for that character.
It is.
I think Dan sounds better.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Cutthroat Kitchen, so I've been making up like Cutthroat Kitchen contestants, basically.
And also learning about Branzino.
Exactly. Richard Blaze had to cook it. Speaking of Star Trek, I just got through the William Shatner episode. That's rough.
Of Cutthroat Kitchen. That is really, really tough. I got confused. I thought he came back for a modern Star Trek thing. That is a rough one. He's an unpleasant man.
And he doesn't talk like humans do?
No. I dislike him quite a bit. And every time I've read, like back in the day when I'd read biographies of just random people, because what are you going to do? Not read something because you got nothing to do. I read a couple Star Trek books. I read his book and he comes off like a huge dick.
Yeah, no one's ever said anything about Bill Shatner that makes him sound like a better person.
No. Yeah. Nightmare Blunt Rotation.
Like, what are some Nightmare of the other Blunt biographies Rotation. You read?
I read his book, and I think I read I Am Spock.
Okay, so that's the second Nimoy book.
Oh, I read I Am Not Spock. I read the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. And then something from Next Generation, but maybe it wasn't a biography. Maybe it was like a history of the show.
Yeah, maybe book. It was just Marina Sirtis's diary that you stole.
Yeah, or just pictures of her.
Yeah, Gary, are you confusing reading a biography with masturbating to pictures of Deanna Troi?
Yeah. I was a little bit more of a crusher than when Roland came around.
I mean, Gates McFadden could get it, right?
Gates McFadden. Yes.
Yeah. I don't like being crass on this show, but open those gates, am I right?
the prime of her life, Gates McFadden. Troy is always weeping. You know, Troy's always giving psychic headaches and crying. You know,
you want a Star Trek woman who can be one of the guys.
Well, one of the guys, and who can also give me free medical service.
Okay, so that is where it is for you. Mostly, it's just getting those hypo sprays.
It'd be get a hypo spray to cure my diabetes.
Oh, that'd be
and
good.
Getting my dick rocked like it's never been rocked before.
She does have that one episode where she's having sex with the candle ghost, and she seems to be enthusiastic. Certainly.
She seems like a good lover. You know, who on Next Generation is the best lover, do you think?
I mean, the obvious answer is Jean-Luc Picard, who would bring the same focused intensity to that act that he brings to all things.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be fun. Like, even when he has, like, romance scenes, they're not very fun. right?
They're pretty serious.
But the actual quality of the lovemaking would be exemplary.
In terms of like tenderness and atmosphere, you know, canonically, I think Data is really good at it because he's got all these different trainings. So in just in terms of moves, like Data could efficiently get you off.
I would be worried that in a couple episodes, I would get eaten by that blob monster whose name I can't remember. Yeah.
It's a sexually transmitted blob monster.
I mean, we can agree Geordi's the worst, right? And that's not an ableism thing. That's a desperate incel nerd thing.
Yeah, he's a little gormless fuck. Yeah. He'd be really bad at it.
He'd be saying like, you responded to this, your holodeck representation responded to this better.
Liked this, what? Yeah. And just like, why would you say that out loud to me now? Also, what are you talking about?
What?
Yeah. My what did? Yeah. Wesley Crusher would be bad.
Before or after he becomes the Traveler?
Before is what I'm thinking of.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. What a Guinan. What kind of lover do you think Guinan is?
Gary Guinan's not going to fuck you, man. I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah. One of my favorite jokes.
Shoot your shots, King, but no.
Yeah. One of my favorite jokes I think is too mean is the Simpsons one where the person is at the bottomless pit. He's like, I was a fool to think anyone would want naked pictures of Whoopi Goldberg. And throws them in the pit and they come back. That's so fucking mean.
That's mean. Whoopi Goldberg's a beautiful woman.
It's unusually mean. It's a really mean thing to say. Yeah. She has an age. She looks very similar to how she's always looked.
Yeah. But we're in agreement that it can't be Riker, right?
Riker thinks he is. Riker would answer Riker.
Yeah. Riker would absolutely answer Riker. And then Troy would answer Riker. And then you would just hear a shrug in your head. I know that's not how Beta Z telepathy works.
Yeah, but just, we know. And Riker might stuff the ballot box, you know?
Does that mean by fucking as many of the people voting as possible?
I just meant cheating, but he probably already has. He's probably done that, because I think that's the canonical thing, is he's had sex with most of the Enterprise.
I don't know if he Riker's fucks. I bet he doesn't fuck on the Enterprise.
You don't think so?
No, I do think he has a minor stick up his ass. I don't think he'd break, because he outranks everybody. I don't think, nobody except maybe Geordi on the Enterprise is a sex pest.
Yeah, I didn't
think
about him having
power
over
everyone. The show's
too
rooted in, like, goodness.
Yeah, I didn't think about him having power over everyone. That does suck that he has sex with other people who he has power over. Like, not on the Enterprise, but I think and during away team missions.
I mean, Worf canonically does good fucking.
Yeah, Worf is good at it.
Him and Jadzia Dax sending each other to sickbay.
Yeah. I also bet you O'Brien is good at it. Like, steady. You know?
If he's into it. Not if he's with Bashir, not Kiko.
Yeah, no, but if he's with Kiko. Yeah, I don't think he's into it with Bashir. Yeah.
Oh, no, Riker, sorry, other way around.
Yes, there we go. No, he loves Kiko. In
Loves.
DS9.
Loves.
You think he's a beard? I don't know. I think he'd be a good. I think he's got is that's the home team for him.
The whole narrative of Deep Space Nine is O'Brien trying to like peacock so that he can fuck Bashir before Garak does.
I don't know if I would agree that that's the entire narrative of Deep Space Nine.
What other stories does it have? The Dominion. Well, it's all cover.
Yeah. The Riker is the straightest character. Yeah. Hey, Zach, what do you think of this?
I don't know. Voyager updates. Patreon.Zach.
That sounded like I was making fun of Zach.
I do not endorse the bit Gary just did. For the record, when this comes up in Slack in 2 days, I do not endorse.
Yeah. This fucking sucks. This is going to really hurt your feelings, and I was just trying to make a stupid joke. I don't disrespect your Patreon. I do want people to go to it. If you would like very good Voyager reviews, go to Zach Hanlon's Patreon.
He finished Voyager a while ago. He just finished Enterprise.
Oh, I'm sorry you had to go through that. Like, that's rough.
Yeah.
Zach, because Enterprise is rough.
Decent car rental.
Yeah.
On the scale. And
decent ship. Yeah, I had a Halloween party. You came to my Halloween party.
I did for about an hour and a half.
Oh, you were there longer than I feel like.
Maybe 2 hours at most.
Good chunk. Yeah. It didn't go much longer than that. We're all old.
How'd it end? Who was the last person to leave?
Jen, Nick, and Carrie left last.
Okay. Oh, that's good. The simultaneous leave is good.
Yeah. Riff kind of started the leave train at that point. Mm-hmm. And then Jen was going to leave, but I was high and I made her watch a YouTube video before she could go. So I held her kind of hostage.
Sure.
And then they went. So,
so obviously the highlights of the party were the point where I asked Jen, who is Levi's podcast partner and roommate, right?
No longer roommate.
No longer
Long roommate. Long time ago roommate. Yeah.
Just close friend. And member of, is she in the game group?
Yeah.
I always add people to that Jen's game great. Group. Phone never rings.
Jen's phenomenal. It's because we have six people. That's huge.
How many do you have when Jen joined?
Jen joined along with Levi because at the time they were dating.
Oh, okay.
There's a package deal and we could not have Levi. He hosts. He owns all the minis.
Sure. I guess I'm still just deeply resentful of that time you literally told me you were picking between me and Riff to add to the game group.
Yeah. Sorry. You also work during the only time we would game.
I'm aware that there are factors. You still told me you were picking.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have told you that. That shouldn't have been a thing I should have said out loud. I know. That's
so
messed
happy.
Up.
It makes me so
I hope
happy.
Riff is appreciative of that.
You better be Riff.
I should tell Riff.
Yeah.
Like, I should have told Riff. I don't know if I told him at the time.
Wait, does Riff not know that he beat me for game group?
I don't know if he knows. And if so, he doesn't remember. Like, there's no
forget?
Way he remembers.
It's the most important thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. Riff had just moved to town. He had nothing going on.
Weekly.
At the time, you were still doing improv. You had stuff going on. Riff had nothing going on. He just moved into town. And he's available nights we play. But anyway, Jen's great. Jen is super cool. Love Jen. Love to make a friend in adult life. It's rare.
I asked her if she'd ever listened to our podcast, because there were some conversations about Guppy happening, because Riff and Nick both listened to the show.
Yep.
So I asked, so something from Guppy came up and she was in the conversation. I wanted to figure out if we were alienating her by talking about it, right? I was trying to be like as good a conversational partner as I can be while being the worst conversational partner I know.
Mm-hmm.
But I did ask her the fatal in a party question. Have you listened to our podcast?
And Jen's answer to this
was amazing.
Was really good.
So good. Such an unintentional, I believe, act of incredible violence.
Yeah. Good work, Jen.
Really good. She said something to the effect of, I listened to the, I listened to a couple of the Venture Brothers episodes.
Well, she said that afterwards. She went, I've heard it.
Yeah. That was
with no additional, no smile. Yes.
Yeah.
No additional, it would have been better if she'd been like, it wasn't really for me. Mm-hmm. But just going, I've heard it.
Yeah.
Full stop. That was
Gary.
Incredible. And
yeah, I managed to block that one out, I guess, for a second.
I
it's back
high.
Now. It's back
yeah,
now.
That's what set me off. Because again, I was a little bit high and I lost my mind at that. Because
it was
the funniest
very
thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
I feel bad about it. I know that you don't have sore feelings about it, but I was really kind of rubbing it in because it was such a perfect little thing to have happen.
Yeah. Like, no, I mean,
really
we were.
Exchange.
I was standing up to leave because my wife had told me that she was getting tired, so we were getting ready to head out. But then you and Jen both matched my energy by standing up.
Yeah.
So suddenly the three of us were standing in the middle of your full living room full of other seated people.
Yeah.
And you were just cackling at me. Like, you fool!
You absolute clod. That's the worst thing to answer. That is the funniest possible answer she gave.
Yeah.
And then she said, I've listened to a couple of the Venture Brothers episodes. Which
meaning
I like
she,
that because that caught me in a little bit of collateral damage.
Yeah, because that meant she thought we were, she did not even know which show I meant.
Nope. Or that she, I think that she was thinking about the entire network.
Yeah.
you know? And I've listened to just a couple of the Venture Brothers episodes. Is also, you know, that's a little devastating to Gary.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It was really good.
It was good. It was a nice moment, you know, that I thought about a lot.
Yeah, I know, because he texted me the next day to, like, check on me.
Yeah, because I felt like I can't drink anymore. I had a drink at the quarter old meetup.
Uh-huh.
And instantly felt like I was going to puke. And that's happened enough times. Last time we were at a party at Nick's for Carrie's birthday, I had a drink and did puke.
Uh-huh.
My body doesn't want alcohol anymore.
Yeah, well, it's poison.
I just need to accept it. Yeah, my body's decided it's poison. But doing a house party, a bunch of people coming over, my neighbors were going to stop by and I don't know them very well. So I was feeling socially nervous. I wanted to have a drink of something. So I bought a weed drink thing and diluted it in Gatorade. And I was drinking this Gatorade. And it took a little while for it to get to me, but I ended up getting pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no idea if what I had done was like really horrible. Like if I had actually hurt your feelings really bad, because I did not remember your reactions.
Sure.
Your reaction.
Also, I leave immediately after.
Exactly. So I was like, oh, did I make Will cry doing that? And I didn't even notice it because I was being a high jackass. Like, I felt really bad about it.
Yeah, of course I cried.
Well,
I'm suffering from serious seasonal affective disorder right now. I'm going through constant waves of anxiety and depression. Of course I cried about it. It was still fucking funny.
Well, I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to make you cry. Never meant to make you cry.
What is that from?
I sung in the wrong tune, but that is a lyric. I can't remember from what, though.
I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet. Is that it? Was it Eminem's cleaning out? It can't be Eminem's cleaning. I'm sorry, no. Mama. It's Eminem's cleaning out our closet. Shit.
There's another song that does it, too. Because it's a song I listen to a lot.
Yeah, Eminem's. Barney Bentall's I Never Meant to Make You Cry topic.
Oh, it's in Miss Jackson.
Miss Jackson, there we go.
That's how I know it. I was like, I know it from a better song than fucking Eminem. Okay.
I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet.
Well, that's another song, too. It's also in Make You Cry. Doom, doom, doom. Yeah, that Tears for Fears 90s comeback song, I think.
I just assumed that was part of the first Tears for Fears.
Mm.
I know they had a 90s comeback. I just assumed they'd never left.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they, well, I mean, maybe they never left. I know their 80s stuff. I know songs from The Big Chair or whatever. And then, like, they had a single in the 90s.
Hey,
didn't Duran Duran, Blondie?
What's Holy Boney do?
Holy Boney is a slightly different skull shape for a Boney, and he's whiter. Is that correct?
Am I being colorblind? More off-white. More, there's some brown in the white. So this is a repentance-specific variant on the Boney, which I think is why the art is more detailed.
Yeah. He's got more, he's a phrenologist delight in terms of skull bumps and such.
Yeah, he's got
a Sugar Hill Gang song.
He just looks a little more detailed overall. He's got more of a 3D effect on him.
Mm-hmm. He's in the cathedral. Only shows up there.
He's also got a little blue cross on his forehead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's mostly like a regular Boney. You know, walks around the room. The bones he throws, though, leave a blue flame behind that will deal contact damage. There.
And I think more importantly, they block Isaac's shots.
Yep.
Which means this guy can shoot at you while defending himself. And as we talked last week, you really want to like get a Boney down fast. He's also got you know, way more health than a Boney does, both at base and per stage. So he's quite bulky for a Boney.
Well, depending on how your run's going, because you're in the cathedral.
Yeah.
You've got to have damage to fight Isaac at that point. So like, you know, but he does have a lot of health. He doesn't go down necessarily quick.
And he's still just throwing the bones.
Yes. I'm looking at the Bonies we have coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Boney variants. Boney is one of the tougher subclasses.
Absolutely. There's a lot of, and they found a lot of different ways to make it be a different kind of problem.
Mm-hmm. It's good game design, the bony.
It's just good game design when you look at it. It's a really interesting take on what a skeleton could do or be in a world like
what
this.
What a skill wants, what a skill needs. I liked it with when you said you got to get a bony down fast.
Yeah, man.
That sounds like an old expression. That sounds like something they say on the bayou, maybe.
A lot of the things, Gary, you don't know this because you're not, but a lot of the things I say are from my time in the bayou.
Yeah. I should have known.
Do you know did you never realize that when I say, suck that like a crawdad, that's me talking from the bayou?
No, I always thought that was just kind of like a vocal tic.
Or my famous catchphrase, catch me down at the parish.
Yeah, I thought you meant Jeremy Parrish.
I did, but it okay. was a fun double meaning.
Yeah. Yeah. And whenever we've, if you play Left 4 Dead 2, you get to the parish chapter, and you're like, you just stay on the boat.
I just can't bring myself to leave, you know?
No, because the guy's like, hello there, welcome. And you're just like, oh, yeah, this is good.
I'm home.
I ain't leaving.
I'm back in the bayou where I'm from.
Back in the bayou. It's hot. The food is good if you like seafood.
Yeah, which I do.
Yeah, so yeah, perfectly at home in the bayou. Me, I'm more of a flatlands, you know, kind of.
Yeah, I've often thought of you as like a flatlander woman.
Yeah, I'm a real Gary, flatlander woman.
Oh, and then you explode. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Speaking of accents, right? I'm not so good at talking. Yeah, I'm sure you've noticed. You've made fun of me for it before, and I deserve it. I was just thinking about how fucking crazy my accent must sound to somebody from another country, because I'm not good at enunciating, and I mispronounce a lot of things. And me and Liv were around this weekend, and I said to her, "I want to get a walking around coffee," and I know what that means.
Yeah,
but I want to get a walk around coffee. Like, that is some fucking gibberish if you are not accustomed to my manner of speech.
So which one did you actually say?
I said, I want to get a walk around coffee.
As someone who spent a lot of time with your voice, literally sits at a computer and listens to your voice to make sure it's like listenable.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously have about 7 different filters I'm running on the show every week to like just get you up to like baseline human.
Yes.
Gwen K and I just have a running 1,000 message deep Slack chain of like, fuck, he's added a glottal stop. God damn it.
To make me palatable, it's using up so much water in a mainframe in Vegas.
We actually have just broke ground on a new database that is just there to add consonants back to the end of words you leave off.
Yes. And to kind of de-redify
my Gary, stay
mouth.
Yes, not yeah. Not yeah. Fuck.
I know.
Save the whales.
Yeah.
Dambala.
Dambala. I don't speak so good. And just if anyone's listening from another country, do I sound like a fucking hillbilly idiot? Like, what is the accent?
So Gary, I'll tell you, as someone, born and raised in Indiana, you don't have an accent, I don't think, at least to my ears. You don't have like a strongly Midwestern accent to my ears. But again, we grew up about 80 miles away from each other. So,
aw.
What?
We could have hung out.
We've talked about it. We wouldn't have. You would have hated me.
I hated everyone at the time. You would have hated me, and I would have deserved it.
No, I was so desperate for any kind of friendship or attention. I would have been down.
Yeah.
sorry, my thinking about it got me a little emotional. It didn't. My throat just feels a little worn out today.
It happens.
Possibly from playing the beloved character Cajun Will.
Yeah, Cajun Will, and
Adam Sandler based himself on me.
You sound like Big Daddy from that Simpsons episode.
Thank
it's
you.
A very specific kind of Cajun. It's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Only I can only play Fat Man and Seersucker, okay?
Yeah. Loud.
I wish that you would stop having these incestuous thoughts towards me, daughter. And yet Tennessee Williams has written us the only way he knows how. Gary, for the record, I
will marry you.
I just wanted on the record that while doing that, I grabbed my collar and fanned myself with it. Of my Fallout New Vegas t-shirt.
Yes. That's great. No, it helps. You know, you get into the accent like that. Before I do Gambit, I like to do a little card trick in my head.
What card trick?
Like flip some cards, do some cardistry. Well, cardistry.
Oh, okay. Just kind of just shuffle, just doing a little fancy shuffle.
Cool shuffles, like flipping around, you know, maybe cutting some cucumbers in half by throwing them.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Going into the full Ricky J.
Yeah. Yeah. And his 52 assistants.
Got a lot of lingering affection for Ricky J.
Me too. Guy's a miracle. He's a really fun part of the first season of Deadwood.
Yeah, I believe that.
When he shows
that.
Up as an actor, he's great.
Yeah, I will absolutely watch Deadwood one of these days. I fucking promise you. It's just hard to watch things that aren't cutthroat kitchen right now.
Yeah, no, that's the most relatable shit you've ever said. I have a hard time starting shit and have for years. Mm-hmm. And it's a bad feeling. I feel guilt around it, which sucks because I shouldn't feel guilt about which TV shows I watch. But like starting a new thing feels insurmountable.
Imagine if you had all that and keeping up with TV was kind of your job.
Well, I do have that for playing video games. Yeah. I do have to start a new video game every time is my job. And that also feels insurmountable. So not exactly the same, though. But
yeah,
I understand
a
little bit.
We're different, you and I.
There are, you know what? We're not so different, you and I.
Damn, man. You really took it and flipped it on me.
I would listen.
Do you want to meet another one of my Cutthroat Kitchen characters?
Yeah.
So this is like just like a full like college humor sketch that I wrote in my head. Okay. Not full. Full is saying too much, but it's like we start at like the judging competition, like the judging portion of the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be the judge first and then I'm going to play the character. Okay.
Okay.
You all presented interesting dishes to me today. And I, I just want to honor everything you did. There were some issues with every dish. But, Chef Jack, your potatoes were underdone, and there's nothing we can say about that. Chef Michael, you, your meat, a little overcooked. Chef Jennifer, I just didn't like the sauce. But ultimately, the chef I'm going to have to eliminate is, and the camera cuts over, is Chef Shitstain.
Mmm.
Is it because I'm a goblin? Or is it because I've never washed my hands?
Have you ever seen the college humor, The Four Flop Tops?
You didn't want to talk to Shit Stain. You didn't want to talk to Shit Stain, did you?
It's just very similar to The Four Flop Tops.
Okay.
Well. With Roger.
Okay, fuck. Fuck. No, I haven't seen it, Gary. Legally, I'm going to say right now, I might be talking to some people from College Humor sometime in the near future. Never seen it. Didn't know I was...
Yeah, it's a Scott Aukerman short film. Uh-huh. Pretty similar premise to this.
How? I haven't seen it. Help me.
Oh, it's the like a fake The Beatles, and they're being interviewed by people.
Okay.
And they go through the three Beatles are normal, and then they have Roger, who is Paul Rust,
sure.
Being real disgusting.
Drooling. That sounds really funny. I'm sorry that I came up with my idea.
Yeah, it's a you know what? It's an Armageddon Deep Impact thing.
I really liked the idea of Shitstain.
I like Chef Shitstain. Is he literally a goblin?
Yeah, he's literally a goblin.
Okay, they should introduce more mythological creatures to Cutthroat Kitchen.
Or any cooking show, really. I wish that there was more goblin representation on TV in general.
Chef Minotaur, you disappointed me with this risotto.
I have told you several times my name is Steerhoof Deerheart. Mm-hmm. Calling me Chef Minotaur is insanely racist.
Which judge were you during that Cutthroat Kitchen thing?
It wasn't Cutthroat Kitchen specifically. So okay. I wasn't any of them. Certainly okay. My bland affect suggests Jet Tila, but...
That did sound a little bit like Jet Tila. I was just trying to decide how horny I should get.
Well, it wasn't... I mean... Jet Tila is so cuddly. I would say he's of the four main judges, he's the least sexually energized.
Yeah. Jet Tila kind of has ace energy to me. I don't know.
He is married. His wife has been on the show.
Yeah, so is O'Brien. And you think that he's just, you know.
I don't think he's ace. I think he wants to fuck Julian Bashir.
Yeah. I'm just saying, being married doesn't necessarily comment on your sexuality.
What are you saying about my sexuality, Gary?
I'm saying it's highly in question. No, I'm saying your sexuality is beautiful. It's a wonderland.
Oh, thank you, Gary.
Yeah.
That didn't... If I thought about what you're saying, I don't think I'd extract any meaning from it, but it sounded nice enough to placate me in the moment.
Yeah, that was the idea. One of the things I like to do in a conversation is, like, you know how in a cartoon, they'll throw a big link of sausages to stop a dog that's chasing them?
Yeah, are they drugging these sausages, Gary?
No need. I just like to give you a little sausage to chew on so you're not chewing on me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I can't drug you. We still have like 15 minutes more of a show to do.
Really? No fucking way.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy.
It's
that
Mondays.
Number's lower than one would have thought or liked. Ooh, yeah. Boy. You want to spend some... I guess I'm bringing... Okay.
So you're not... What about my dish didn't you like?
Are you still playing both parts, or can I
No,
be
you're
the judge
now, man. I'm
It's like, if you just want me to leave, I'll go. Well, Chef Shitstain, with all respect, there were just a lot of issues with execution, and the flavors weren't quite right.
My mom was executed. And my dad.
I can't understand you.
Of my cousins. The knights came to my little village, and they were like, "You're goblins, get on the chopping block." And to be fair, my mom and dad and several cousins all said, "It's a fair cop, Gov."
Well, in consolation, we never do this.
Yeah.
But in consolation, we'll donate $20 to your favorite charity.
That's the most money I've ever seen in my entire life. My favorite charity is...
What's your favorite charity?
I can't say it. I can't say the one that popped into my head.
No, you had to say it.
No, it's too dark. It's too dark.
I'm not going to hear it. Bleep it.
The one that... It doesn't even make any sense, Gary. And I am going to bleep it. It was... I was just like, what's
finally,
the worst?
Someone taking a stand.
What's the worst charity? I don't know, but okay, that was bleeped.
Yeah, my favorite charity is the Cancer Foundation.
Okay, well they got
we're gonna get the death rate up.
Oh, you pro cancer foundation.
Well, that's what it is.
Okay, well they'll make use of this Andrew Jackson, and probably infect a lot of people with cancer, and that's because you had spirit, Chef Shitstain.
I don't actually have a sword. They designed me not to have one, so it was okay for player classes to kill me.
Well, I don't believe that. I believe you've gained one on the show tonight.
That's amazing. This is like some Order of the Stick shit.
Yeah, exactly like that. Or like Stick's Master of Shadows, another goblin piece of media.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Dennis DeYoung.
No. A different kind of goblin.
A different misspelling of Sticks.
Yes. I think it's the same misspelling of Sticks.
Are they both S-T-Y-X like the river?
No, I think all of them are Sticks. No, the river is different. I think the band and the goblin are the same.
No, the band and the river are the same.
Yeah. Well, then all three of them are the same.
Yeah, it's not a misspelling. I guess the proper way of spelling it is S-T-I-C-K-S. Is it dumb that I was just thinking about sticks, like bits that fall off trees?
No, that's okay.
How's Listen, buddy, Discord we're handling Shitstain?
Hey, other chefs, can you get a big group hug on Chef Shitstain here?
You really shouldn't. I don't smell good, and I've got a lot of substances.
Yeah, I know, but we love you. We're here to help.
You've all got
this actually sport. Isn't a cooking show. I'm sorry to say, this isn't a cooking show. I'm an adventurer, and we feel guilty about killing your family.
You are.
This is Chef Paladin, actually. Chef Cleric and Chef Wizard. We've been lying, and we wanted to make it up to you. So $20 to the Cancer Institute it is.
Okay, but when you hugged me, you did all get pregnant with my spores.
That's a risk we're willing to take. We got a big pile of limited wishes, a.k.a. abortions, in back.
You want me to
it's hard to come back from limited wish as an abortion.
You want me to cut that joke, man?
No. I don't care. I was trying to think of a way to don't cut it. I was trying to think of a way to tie into Brick.
I could cut that joke, dude.
No. That was a good joke.
I'm just saying, as an offer, open offer is the editor of the show. I could cut that joke.
I feel like if I had limited wish, I would probably use it to end pregnancies.
Yeah. You know? No, I get it. I'm just saying that all you would have to do to get that joke removed from the episode is just say cut it.
Yeah, but I you know what? I'm brave.
Yeah.
I stand by my words.
Yeah.
You know? I stand by my convictions as well.
You don't listen to the show anyway. You have no idea how many of your jokes I've cut.
I imagine you mostly just cut all of them.
It's just kind of
Will doing characters at himself. You know?
You know, it's a fair cop, Gov.
Yeah, fair cop, Gov. The.
So who do you like more, Dan Branzino or Shitstain?
Dan Branzino is easier to understand.
Sure.
Sorry,
I just did a big burp. Conceptually or what?
Oh, audibly.
What do you mean?
It is difficult. You've got a wet voice, Shitstain.
Yeah,
you've got a goblin accent.
Diarrhea in my throat.
Yeah, your goblin accent and diarrhea throat are interfering with my ability to understand your words sometimes.
You're kind of still talking in like a chef show judge.
I can't get out of the character of adventurer chef.
Yeah.
Shitstain. Well, I guess I don't need to talk to Shitstain in that case if I'm not adventurer chef.
No.
I don't need to talk to Shitstain, I guess, if I'm not Adventurer Chef.
And Gary, once we burn down one more rainforest to get that listenable, it's going to sound great.
It's going to sound super good. Yeah. Dan Branzino, I feel like, has potential. You know, I didn't get to spend as much time with Dan Branzino, but I do think that Dan Branzino is harder to play with for me.
I mean, he's not going to stick around for our bullshit. He's a straight shooter.
Yeah, we need to. We are too frivolous for Dan Branzino, whereas Shitstain fits right in.
Yeah, Shitstain's just one of the gang at this point.
Like, he's the third chair on Guppy. Like, with the pivot, we can add him as a permanent third chair.
Yeah, Shitstain's our Mike Schmidt.
Grizzly bears!
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
I was trying to say grizzly bears, which is a magic card, in a Shitstain voice.
Okay. Man, that one's a rough, random magic card pick because it's also a bear.
It is also a bear, and I think it's a band, too. I can't do the shit
scene. And an Adams. It's an Adams.
I will say, Grizzly, yeah. I will say you are better at doing a wet voice than I am.
You're welcome.
Like, if you need to throw a bunch of water in your throat to do a comedy voice, like that kind of thing, you're much better at it than I am.
Well, again, if I'm making cookies or soup or something, and I'm alone in the house, and there's no voices... Sometimes I just got up, and the Cutthroat Kitchen episode is being awkward because William Shatner is saying weird things about food while everyone fawns over him in the fucking man cave episode that they did, which I don't really vibe with very much. Sometimes I got to pause it and just start doing Shitstain and just see what Shitstain has to say.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of practice. You know, nobody would say you didn't get to the wet voice through hard work and dedication.
And I have other wet voices. There's Hedonism Will. Do you want to talk to Hedonism Will for a minute just to hear the
contrast?
How's
Hedonism? Yeah. Give me some Hedonism Will.
I'm doing so well these days, Gary. I'm absolute. I found new places to put the honey.
Hedonism Will, what's the strangest place you've ever eaten honey?
Oh, probably out of... You know what? It's not that strange for me, but I was going to say out of a butthole at the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Okay. Whose butthole?
I didn't ask.
Okay. I don't know how old you are, Hedonism Will.
Enough to know better.
Yes. Are there any famous people you need to hang out with?
Gary, that little yes was the funniest thing you've ever said.
Is there any famous people you've eaten the butthole of?
Oh, Brent Spiner.
Okay. Another Spiner head. Excellent. What is it like?
Gary, help me out here. What's the funniest thing? What's the funniest answer to your question of what eating honey out of Brent Spiner?
Eating honey out of, well, I probably sweet. You know, what with all the honey?
What with all the honey? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. It's mostly honey. And also, you know, you do it because it turns you on because your hedonism will.
Yeah. Yeah.
The skeleton voice is a little wet, too. Like when I've tried to do the skeleton voice, I can't do your skeleton voice because I think it's got a little bit too much moisture in there.
Can you give me your best version of my skeleton?
Nah. Ah, Gary. It is I, skeleton. See, that doesn't work. That's not good.
I think it's because you're wetting it.
I know I'm trying to wetten it, but my throat is so dry.
Greetings, Gary. There's no wetting in this voice at all.
Greetings, Will.
It comes entirely from the upper back of the throat.
I keep making it sound a little bit like Peter Lorre. Greetings, Will.
It's got some fucking Dave Coulier woodchuck in there, which I don't know how you're getting that in.
Climb the jackalope. Can't catch me.
Did someone say bone?
No, I said wood. Wood. See, I can do a jackalope, okay?
Yeah, man, you're killing it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple voices I can do, but not. You know, it's good that we don't have that much overlap in our voices. You know, we both bring strength to this podcast. No, we have more in common than you might think.
Really?
I would listen. Yeah.
I would listen to a show between these two guys. Oh my God, you should do a podcast together.
We should. Two funny white guys without a real strong premise. Can you imagine? Let's the pivot will be us talking about The Wire. And the podcast will just do two white guys tell you about The Wire.
But seriously, Gary, what if we just, instead of the pivot as announced, it was just the Cutthroat Kitchen episode by episode recap podcast?
I'm sincerely down. Like, I joked about that at the party, but now I'm saying it for the record.
Yeah.
An excuse to watch Cutthroat Kitchen every morning before we record. And I would get out a lot of Cutthroat Kitchen material that has just been, like, slowly leaking to the surface with Kay.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a big backlog.
There's so much humanity in every episode of that show. Derogatory.
Yes. Yeah. I like thinking about the Bobs. A thing that I think started as like kind of a fun joke, but I think Alton Brown's into it.
So for the people who do not, the very small proportion of people who listen to this show but have not watched every episode of Cutthroat Kitchen, about five seasons in, they decide the show needs like minions.
Yes. And they're all named Bob. They're assistants who come and do things for Alton Brown. Like he has them wheel out props for sabotages and stuff. But like Alton Brown, he's like Bob's, like he's into it. There's like a twinkle in his eye that he is like really into. Alton Brown would have been a horrific, like in the military. Alton Brown would have been horrifying.
Absolutely. I would not want to serve in the Good Eats Brigade. Certainly not.
No, absolutely not. Like the toughest drill sergeant there is, like, I mean, absolutely is brutal commander.
I mean, what is an assault rifle but a single task item?
And what is an assault rifle but a pair to a pepper rifle in the culinary delights of the war?
We've got to be within 5 minutes of 60, right? Fuck. Yo,
we're in 30 seconds.
Gary,
yeah, that can be the button.
That was the fucking button. You saying that fucking salt and pepper joke that drained another fucking year out of my life. Gary, if people enjoy this show, what should they do?
It was a good joke. Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and leave us some money. Maybe not for this episode, but you can specify which episodes the money to go to.
Yeah, and please.
Then you can leave us a rating review on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Addict, or wherever.
Pocket Addict? That one's going to take another rainforest to clean.
Yeah, I want to get a walk around coffee.
Pocket Addict. Gary, I think we might be tapped on reviews right now. Hold on. Maybe I didn't read this one because it was upsetting. This one's from Rowan. Dear Guppy, I've had the phrase hot smoked corn fed bussy in my head for about a year now. I don't know if either of you said it, but I do know that I don't like it. Oh, thanks for doing a WAF on Legend of Grimrock 2, Gary. I'm glad you both enjoyed it, and I'm grateful you took the extra time to play through it. My cool brain problems prevented me from saying so earlier, but better late than never, I guess. Is the corn a euphemism? 5 stars.
Thank you.
I don't think I read that.
That sounds like something I would say because you don't like bussy. You don't like the bussy suffix.
I think you probably have said, just in passing, hot smoked corn fed bussy. Yeah. Is it bussy? Am I supposed to say it to sound bussy. More like pussy?
Yeah. Bussy.
And not more like an adjective meaning having the qualities of a bus?
Yeah, that's bussy. It can get very confusing depending on what forums you're on.
No ghost.
No ghost.